Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel, where Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all those who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So far the text. This is one of those pivotal moments in Peter's life. I'd say it's the most pivotal moment, certainly to this point. And because it not only changes the way he sees Jesus, it changes the way he sees him, and his entire life will never be the same again. Not so much because the miracle was so astonishing, but because of how he responded to the miracle and how Jesus in turn then responds to Peter. Now at this point, Peter, Andrew, James, and John are not full-time disciples, pretty part-time. They've had experiences with Jesus leading up to this. They were introduced to Jesus by John the Baptist down in Judea. We know that they were with Jesus at the wedding in Cana, where Jesus turned water into wine. We're not sure if they were there in Nazareth during Jesus' first sermon that was recorded. We're almost positive they were there in Capernaum, the text we had last week, when Jesus cast the demon out and when Jesus came across the street and then healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then Peter and the rest see Jesus heal the entire community. So they've had all these experiences, but as we can see, probably a couple days later, they're not full-time disciples. They're not following Jesus. Jesus has to come to them. And while the entire crowd is pressing in on Jesus to hear what he says, these four disciples, or future disciples, I should say, are doing their full-time job. They're cleaning their nets after a long night of not catching any fish. And so Jesus gets into Peter's boat and says, "Push off from shore." Does this for a couple reasons. Number one, you know, the crowd's pressing in on him, so that's uncomfortable. He wants to get away from the crowd a little bit. And he also wants to preach more effectively, which is going to easily be done in a boat where he can make his message clear to everybody there. But I think the third reason is the main reason why he came to the Sea of Galilee that day. It has something to do with Peter. He wants Peter not to be focusing on cleaning his nets, but to be focusing on him. And I don't know if you've ever been in a rowboat in a windy lake. Not easy keeping that thing in one position. So Peter is going to be busy with the oars, which means his ears are going to be wide open listening to everything Jesus says. So Jesus wraps up his message to the crowd, and now he has a message for Peter. And in this message, there is a command and there is a promise. The command is, go to the deep area and lay down your nets. And secondly, the promise, because you're going to get a big catch of fish. And Peter responds, as anyone would in that situation. You can almost tell from his words how tired he is and how frustrated he is and how he doesn't really want to listen to Jesus. After all, what Jesus says here doesn't make any sense. And he's not responding this way because of the person of Jesus. It's because of what he said. In the Sea of Galilee, you do not fish in the deep areas, and you do not fish during the day. And yet that's exactly what Jesus tells him to do. And he goes, "Master, you know, we've been fishing all night, and we haven't caught anything." "Okay, whatever you say, I'll do it." What I thought was kind of funny is in Greek, the Greek word for master has another meaning in English. It's chief. Doesn't that sound more like it? "Listen, chief." I mean, isn't it, you know? "Listen, chief, I'm a professional fisherman. You don't know what you're talking about. So, okay, just to show you." And he puts down the nets, right, that close to saying, "I told you so." And all of a sudden they catch this massive amount of fish. And then everything radically changes for Peter. Right? Now, he's not reacting and changing because of the miracle. It's now because of who Jesus is and what he sees. And so he doesn't call him master anymore. Now he calls him Lord. And what does he say? Lord, get away from me. Which seems a little odd. But really what he sees now is he sees most clearly who Jesus is. At least this is the clearest he's ever seen to this point. And then in turn he sees how clearly who he is. And that means he's a sinner. And it's kind of ironic that at the very moment that Peter has never been closer to Jesus physically, spiritually, and emotionally, at this moment he tells Jesus to leave him. Now, I had a question that just popped up in my mind when I was reading this text, and that is like, well, why does Jesus have to leave Peter? Why doesn't Peter just leave Jesus? That would solve the problem, right? The thing is, he can't. Go throughout all the Gospels, wherever Jesus does a miracle, and see if you can find anybody who reacts like Peter does here. I can't find one. People are always amazed, which they are here, and surprised. People are thankful and worshiping God and praising God and telling other people what have happened. Not once does someone please say to Jesus, get away from me. And yet that's what Peter says. But why does he say that? And why doesn't Peter get away from Jesus then? It's because Peter can't. Because right now Peter sees that the only way this relationship is going to be broken is if Jesus leaves, because he's not going anywhere. He sees that he's a sinner and Jesus is the Lord who forgives sins. He sees that Jesus is the one who gives life. And then Jesus speaks to him. And he says two basic things. He says, do not be afraid. Better translated as stop being afraid. And you will be fishers of men. And then it says, Peter left everything and followed Jesus. Now, I got to tell you, in almost every time I preach on this sermon, I always focus on the last part. I think most of us do or think about it that way. And that we focus on becoming fishers of men. What does that mean for Peter? What does that mean for us? And look at what Peter does. He leaves everything and he follows Jesus. Okay, that is very important. But again, it's kind of missing the main point of why Peter did this. It's because of the first thing, which, by the way, is the most important thing Jesus says. And that is stop being afraid. But he doesn't give him a reason to stop being afraid. He could have. He could have said, stop being afraid because I've come here to live a perfect life and to fulfill the law on behalf of all of you. And therefore, you can stop being afraid of the law. That's true, but he doesn't say it. He could have said, well, you can stop being afraid because in 3 years I'm going to die on a cross and forgive your sin, and therefore the sin that seems to be bothering you so much won't be a problem, so stop being afraid. That's true, but he doesn't say it. He said, well, on the third day after that, I'm going to rise from the dead, which will assure you not only of my presence, but of your own resurrection, so now you can stop being afraid of death. It's true, but he doesn't say it. On this morning, he doesn't mention faith, which is important. And he's going to talk a lot about faith over the next 3 years of his ministry. Faith's important. It helps us to see and trust in the Savior. And yet, on that morning 2,000 years ago, no mention of faith. No mention of righteousness. Next 3 years, he's going to be talking a lot about righteousness with the disciples. Love one another as I've loved you, right? Serve each other as I serve you. But not now. Doesn't mention it. Certainly not as a reason to not be afraid. And finally, he doesn't mention on that morning anything about doctrines. Now, he's going to give Jesus, the disciples, a lot of teachings, a lot of doctrines. And they're important for us today. They help synthesize and focus our understanding of what Jesus has done and what he continues to do in our life. But on that morning 2,000 years ago, he doesn't say the doctrine is a reason to stop being afraid. The only reason that Peter has to stop being afraid is Jesus himself. I've mentioned this video to a couple of my Bible classes and this last week. I saw it a couple weeks ago. It's just a snippet of this guy's sermon. His name is Chris Randall, if you ever want to look it up. Maybe you've even seen it. And he's a Scottish guy. You can't miss him. And I'm always gravitated to Scottish accents. I don't know, it sounds smart or something. But something about his sermon, this little message, really resonated with me, because it's kind of making this same point. In this, he says, when I get to heaven, the first person I'm going to look up is the thief on the cross. And I'm going to find the thief on the cross and say, hey, you made it. How did that happen? And the thief's going to say, I don't know. And then he goes, well, that's not a good answer. And he's going to say probably the same response that an angel had, who was when he's at the pearly gates, and this guy's walking in. He says, what are you doing? How do you think you're getting in here? And he says, I don't know. And he goes, not a good answer. I'll have to get my supervisor. And then the supervising angel will come in and say, okay, do you understand what the doctrine of justification by grace through faith is? And he'll be like, I don't know. And he said, okay, do you understand the doctrine of Scripture, that it's God's word? He goes, no, it doesn't ring a bell. And he'll say, well, on what basis are you supposed to be here? And he said, because the person on the cross in the middle said I was supposed to be here. And that's the only answer. And that's the answer it is for us. Nothing to do with our righteousness or how many doctrines we know and how well we know them. Certainly not about the strength of our faith or lack thereof. It's simply because the man in the middle cross said we belonged. And when we understand that, when we hear him saying, stop being afraid, and realize that because of him we can, then we begin the beginning of our journey with Jesus. Then we understand what it truly means to be a lost sheep that has been found. And when the good shepherd finds a sheep, and picks him up, and is carrying him home again. And the good shepherd takes that first step towards home and says to the sheep in his arms, now you can stop being afraid. Once that sheep hears that and trusts it, that's the beginning of a journey of hope and joy and faith that ends in heaven when we're in the presence of this good shepherd himself. I pray that this good shepherd bless you this day on that journey. And bless you always with seeing him clearly, and therefore seeing the reason why we can stop being afraid. In Jesus' name, amen.